What is up?
Nothing much. Just Monday.
It is Monday. Hey, everything was ready for you this morning, or I mean you had everything set up before we started, I should say.
Nope. That's a
No?
that's absolute lie.
What? I mean you're in your chair, your headphones are on, camera's on. Before we started recording, you had everything ready. Now, whether you got it all ready right before we started or not, that's not the
Yeah.
point. Oh man. I guess, oh crap, my buttons aren't ready. Hold on one second. There
Oh,
we
it's gonna queue
go.
this time.
Hello everybody, welcome to the daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and podcast network. Wherever you get your podcast from, sorry, I started trying to multitask. I'm Kyle. That's
I'm
Manny. I was trying
Manny.
to tighten my mic arm. Sorry. Anyways, I'm Kyle. That's Manny. And hit the subscribe button if it's something you haven't done already. A couple of starter points, of course. One, first and foremost, today is Memorial Day. I know we have a fairly large international audience for the channel. For Daily Cog, not as much, but hey, if you're watching from outside of the US, hi. And for everyone in the US or anybody from a country that's been affected by US service, talk world wars and stuff like that. Memorial Day is a day that we remember the service members that gave their lives in service of the United States. Its freedom, its people, everything that it stands for, the idea of America. It's not for people like me that retired or got out or that are still in. If you're still in, there's Armed Services Day for people like me that are still alive and kicking or didn't die in combat. There's Veterans Day. Memorial Day is specifically for those that gave everything. So thank you to them and their families for their sacrifices. Ooh. Number two, on top of that, ladies and gentlemen, I am doing a fundraiser for my own grandmother's cataract surgery. She's on Medicare, so we're just trying to get that 20% coverage that she's going to need. There'll be a link down below. We've already had some people donate. I've promised to contribute, of course, as well. And thank you to everyone that has donated. If you can't donate, if you wouldn't mind sharing the link, if you know any charitable people, it would be great. We're looking for $1,750 for the appointments, the surgeries themselves, and travel expenses. She's already traveled for the first appointment to Tennessee with my dad for that. So that's there. All the more sad and I don't know. I don't even know how to word it. Business stuff done. Manny, how was your weekend?
It was great, actually. We went out to the coast and we were in the theater for three films this weekend.
Jeez, what did you see?
I took the girls to see The Little Mermaid on Friday night.
Oh yeah, how'd they like that?
I loved it. It was good. Yeah, I
Cool,
was
cool.
they were both satisfied.
Check out Breaking Geek Radio's review of that here on the Genreverse.
Yeah, every and since I spent a lot of time at the theater, I got to see quite a few actually rooms come out of it, and man, it is an overwhelmingly positive vibe every time that group comes out.
A cinema score 90 something percent Rotten Tomatoes last time I saw it. Yeah, critics aren't the hottest on it, but the audience sure seems to love it. I don't care. Not that I hate it or anything. I just literally don't care. But anyways, carry on. What else did you see?
We saw The Machine, which was hilarious, which
Was
was
that
which
fun?
It was good. It wasn't like I was holding my stomach funny. Like I don't the kind of comedy that is what's his name? I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now.
Burt
Bert, yeah.
Kirshner, something like
Yeah,
that.
it's not I'm a big fan of stand up, and his stand up is kind of like, eh, to me, like not.
The Machine story, when I first heard it on one of his routines, was a really hilarious story. And you're just standing there like there's no, comedians embellish, and you know there's
Of
going to be
course.
embellishments in that, and you know some comedians just straight up make things up or take things from other people. They get supposed to get permission to work it into their routines and stuff like that, but when he was like, no, literally, yes, of course I expect embellishments, but the fact that that actually happened, like, crazy, man.
Yeah, so
Absolute
no,
crazy.
like the people in the room, they're all like laughing, and at some of the things I'm just like, oh, it's not really that funny. So if you're a fan of his comedy, you're gonna have a good time. Mark Hamill was great as his dad, so that made it really, really good. And then we also watched Kandahar with Gerard Butler.
I've been there.
It was
What is that movie about? I
beautiful.
haven't even heard about it.
They're like it's a he's a British operative who's on loan, I guess, to the CIA, and they blow up a nuclear plant in
Oh, okay.
Iran, and it's about them having to get out.
Okay.
And of
And
course, there's like the Taliban's after them, the Iranian government's after them, some other group out of, I think, India or Pakistan is after them or something like that. I don't know. It's really middle of the pack.
is it just me, or does it feel like Gerard Butler had become or has become like this era's Stallone? You remember when Stallone was just in some of the most ridiculous action movies, like Cliffhanger and freaking Daylight, where the tunnel collapses there. Was it LA? I don't remember, but some or New York or something. Some tunnel collapse and he's there to help get people out. Gerard Butler's, so and so has fallen, stuff like this. Like he's in so many just like I don't even want to say they're like B-rated, but they're definitely mid at best, mid-tier
It
at
feels like
best action
he's the
flicks.
next, like Bruce Willis, who at who
Bruce Willis is a good one,
who
although
started doing, yeah.
I did like the whole 9 yards. The whole 9 yards was a funny movie. I don't know if you saw that one with him and Matthew Perry, Amanda Peet.
A long time ago.
That's a funny movie.
But
But yeah.
yeah, he's def yeah, like I don't know. He does all of the movies that the action movies that they bring to him. There is not it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great
Hey,
either.
he's getting paid, man. He's getting paid. So those were the three movies you saw.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch About My Father, which is another one that I wanted to see. But man, like it was just like so many freaking movies, man.
Hey, the weekend box office like that, and talking about making money and how full the rooms were this weekend. We had 161 million total for the domestic chart, with Little Mermaid coming in for the regular 3-day weekend at 95. And congrats on Manny's prediction. Late last week, he said 115 for the Memorial Day weekend. I said 110. It looks to come in according to the numbers, thenumbers.com, 116.8. So good job, Manny. That's almost like, that's pretty close to getting it right on the dollar. Way wrong on Mario. Spot on for this one. Fifth best Memorial Day weekend, so congratulations to it. Last weekend, just for a little bit of comparison, we had a $121 million weekend, with this one being 40 million more than that. People are liking the Little Mermaid. China didn't, but no one expected them to actually like it or help this movie make a bunch of money. Yeah,
Yeah,
man.
China could suck a duck.
Duck is delicious, man. I love Like, I know, there's plenty of Chinese I know what you were getting at. I was just being funny. Anyways.
That wasn't that funny.
You know, the best duck dish I had, no joke, it was at a Chinese food restaurant in Amsterdam.
Oh, wow.
It was phenomenal, man. Oh, my God. So
that sucks. It's such a, like, spot that I don't know if you'll ever
back to get it again. Never make it back. But, dude, it was. And, like I said, I love duck. I cook it myself. I order it at restaurants and all sorts of ways it's done, European, Asian, North American, whatever you want to call it. Like, oh, duck is good, but nothing like that. Anyways, yeah, man, congrats on the spot on. I owe you a dollar.
It was a really good movie, and what was cool about what I was noticing about really the people that were going into the theaters, you know, in and out all throughout Sunday and then also on Friday night, is it's a movie that your entire family could go watch, and it's a movie that entire families did go watch. I saw dads who really didn't necessarily want to be there, but because it was a family thing that
you know,
they were all going
for their kids
together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that always makes me really happy when there's films that, you know, the entire family can see. And that, I mean, that helps revenue in itself because like parents aren't taking their kids to watch like Fast X.
You mean if you take a house of four people to the theaters, that movie will make more money than those four people watching it on a streaming service? No way.
That's right, Kyle.
Oh my God. What have we been doing for the last decade?
And I'm going to tell you, those concession lines were
popping, huh?
Yeah. So
that's good for the theaters.
Yeah. Well, good for our theaters, because I've heard your theaters suck. Over your area.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of areas like that too, I'll say it again. It's shout out to Fresno for always coming out and you know, supporting movies, or just wanting to be out in the theaters, man, just and have a good time. It's a reason we have so many here in such a small area. But my only complaint is we don't have I think it's an AMC, so we don't get any of the special, like, really cool, like, popcorn buckets that they release sometimes. So if I'm gonna complain about it, it's that. But I mean, at this point, like, where the hell are you gonna put another theater?
At some point, the theater that I frequent, because it's closest, that mall is in bankruptcy. And will eventually be sold off, and I'm sure it's going to become a mixed use area where there'll be apartments, a theater, restaurants, a medical office, or something like that, all within walking distance. And that's cool, but I don't know if they'll have to shut that theater down, if they'll maintain it, or you know what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what they're going to do with it, but I'm sure there will be a theater here eventually. But the next closest one is an AMC. It's about 25 minutes away, depending on traffic, which isn't bad. But again, depending on traffic, and my area is pretty rough for traffic. But it's an AMC, which the one good thing about that is Coke products and Dr. Pepper.
We got all Pepsi products. Dr. Pepper,
you know.
We have all the Pepsi products.
I hate Regal going to the cheaper, because it's not as good, the cheaper syrup of Pepsi, which just is the only reason they switched. And they don't even carry like a Dr. Pepper and Diet Dr. Pepper at mine. I don't know if they have that at yours, but like, can you please give us something not awful anyway?
We have Dr. Pepper.
Ours doesn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys suck, so.
I remember when Taco Bell started dropping the Dr. Pepper. It's like, why? Like, that's the good thing about the Dr. Pepper, is it goes both ways.
It really does. It's one of those things you should be able to get anywhere.
Anybody can enjoy Dr. Pepper. Now, me personally, I tend to just go with the one way, but it's cool when someone can, you know.
I see what you're saying.
Oh man. Do you have anything else on box office before we get into rumor?
Yeah, just the interesting fact that The Little Mermaid did better domestically than Fast X did.
Yes, it did.
And that is to current numbers, actually. it mm-hmm. it just really annoys me all the time to see that it's
by the time today's numbers come out, yes, it will be above it. Monday's numbers, I mean, not just the numbers coming out today. The estimate is definitely above.
Yeah.
Fast 10, Fast X, whatever, sitting at 507 worldwide. So we'll see how that goes. Oh, one last thing. Shout out to Kevin Davis, 8646, in our comments. Usually talks about box office numbers with us. He predicted a 130 to 150 debut. A little over on that one, but is expecting 900 to a billion worldwide. I don't know about that specifically because of the international market, especially China. If The Little Mermaid was going to have a 600-700 million domestic run, it would have had a much bigger opening weekend. So yeah, I don't think that one's going to be that much. But thanks for commenting and let us know what you think the revised numbers are. What do you think this makes worldwide, Manny? Now that you've seen the U.S. opening, my guess is probably worldwide 7 to 8, maybe
7 to 8,
and that 100 million worldwide.
Oh,
for Little Mermaid. Let me revise that. 6 to 7. Sorry, 6 to 7.
Because
I don't have a lot of faith in the international market, not just China, but
did you say
places.
6 to 7?
600 to 700 million worldwide for The Little Mermaid.
Nah, I go 4 to 5.
Okay.
5. I'm gonna say about 5, and that's okay. And that's being generous. I just don't see another without that market. I still
this summer. It is, and here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's going to push 4 to 5 in the U.S. alone because of it being summer and word of mouth. But we'll see.
Well, next week will be very tough. The problem is there's so much other stuff coming out.
That's true. Spider-Man in Across the Spider-Verse this week, and then you have The Flash in 2 weeks or the week after.
Don't forget about Transformers.
Transformers Rise of the Beast.
For
that
the
is a good point.
Fans, you have the Boogeyman. I mean, and not that far behind is also Indiana Jones. I mean, like, it's just like jam-packed with movies.
Yeah, I you know what, that's a really good point. I think I'll go
DreamWorks.
I think I can
and Elemental.
I think I can definitely look at maybe, yeah, I'm gonna go 550 to 6 worldwide then, because there is a lot, and probably looking domestically in that 450 range.
There's not a lot of rewatch also, just because of that factor either.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
We'll see. Good points, Manny. Good points. Let us know what you guys think in the comments down below. As for rumors, now we used to talk about My Time to Shine with a lot more certainty, and when I say we, I mean us, just kind of like in general genreverse LRM, only because they had a decent track record. However, we're at the point now where so much things that they've called are so far away, and there's been so many that I don't even know. But here's the thing: the Fantastic Four cast is allegedly, according to them, Adam Driver, for Reed, Margot, Robbie for Sue, Mescal, Paul Mescal, I think is his name, for Johnny, and David Diggs, is that how you say his name? Did Snowpiercer, I think he's the voice of Sebastian in The Little Mermaid, yep. If I'm not mistaken, as Ben Grimm. Take it with a big grain of salt, ladies and gentlemen. They do have a relatively good hit record, but like I said, there's so many calls out there that a lot of their hit record could take a big hit if things don't pan out. And with the writer's strike delays, other actors looking at their options in the future, what they can get out of, what they can get into, they might have this right now, but some I'm having some microphone issues here. I don't know what that was. Sorry. Okay. I think it's all right. Things might change, but what do you think about that potential cast, Manny?
I'm to the point where I've seen so many names for Fantastic Four that I don't really care anymore. and the reason is that no, the reason is there's no perfect cast. There's no such thing. There's fan casting.
Lies. There's one perfect cast, and they got no. Hear me out. Dacre or Dacre, the guy that plays Billy on Stranger Things. He played Jason, the Red Ranger, in the 2017 Power Rangers movie. He would have been a perfect Johnny Storm. That is truth.
That's an opinion. So there was so many names being thrown out at this point. I don't care. Like, just pick somebody already, because more than likely they're going to be Disney-fied anyway. And then all of a sudden you're going to get nostalgia and you're going to want the original group from,
you know,
they weren't bad.
They weren't the worst. They were not the worst. No. Nick Dahl and I rewatched those films last year, I think. I think on the LRM YouTube channel, you can see some like watch along type things with that. That being said, the costumes were spot on. Like the costuming was great, especially Doom. Like Doom's costume at the end when he puts on the jacket and he's got his mask and everything. There's nothing really you can say wrong with the aesthetic of the Fantastic Four. And it was definitely a product of its time, in the same vein as Spider-Man and X-Men around that time. It's not great, but it's better than Trank's version.
That's not saying much.
That's not saying much.
It was a train wreck.
But Yeah. I think the casting overall is fine. I like the ages. Adam Driver's 39. Robbie's my age, if I'm not mistaken. How old? No, she's a bit younger. She's 32. I thought she was like 36, so like Christine's age, between me and Christine. She's 32. Paul Mescal is probably in his 20s, which is fine for Johnny at 27. And Mr. Diggs, who's gonna be in a in CGI for a big chunk, is 41. So I dig the ages. That's something that I've wanted. I wanted an adult Fantastic Four, because my dream Fantastic Four is, according to some rumors, what we're going to kind of get, which is they're out of time. They've gone on adventures. They're going to be older. We might even get the kids in this movie. And that was always like my thing. Like you have them in the 60s or something like that, go on an experiment. They get zapped off into, you know, other dimensions, different universes, however you want to explain it. Time dilation plays where they're aging up, you know, 5 years, 10 years, while Earth, you know, goes through 60, 70, 80 years, whatever it is by the time they come out. Somewhere in the middle of that, Doom gets kicked out early, gets all messed up, goes to Latveria, does Doom things. And when the Fantastic Four come back out, they've already got Val. They've already got Franklin. And they've already been doing Fantastic Four stuff in the other, you know, realm, other universe, other dimension. And they come back, people that know, like, that's the way to do it. So I'm happy with the ages. I don't really care so much about the castings in particular, because I think they really did miss out on one. I haven't even seen Guardians 3 yet, man, because I was dealing with health issues, which kept me from seeing it when it first opened. And then it was just like, I can wait. I said that to myself. I was like, I can wait now. I was really stoked. I really, really wanted to see it. But the fact that when I didn't like push through, I didn't find a day where I was doing really well, go early or like I didn't make any additional effort. The true fact is just I can wait for everything Marvel now. I pretty much can wait. If you announced a Spider-Man 4 movie tomorrow, I would say, okay, I can wait. And I freaking love. No, I'm dead freaking serious right now. Because, dude, I haven't even rewatched No Way Home. I saw that in December of 2019. Once. It's sitting downstairs. Blu-ray copy. I bought it thinking, I'll one day. Nope. I don't have the nostalgia for it, man. I'll watch the old stuff. I don't care for the new stuff anymore. I wish I did. I really wish I did.
I don't really rewatch Marvel, period. So there's that. I mean, what am I gonna, there's no real value in watching again. The only one I really watch again was sometimes Endgame.
There's lots of ones that I rewatched. I have not. I won't lie, since Phase 4 stuff, I've watched, I think, maybe Far From Home once. I tried watching Guardians 1 and got through most of it, but we had a pause for something and then I just never went back to it. I've watched Endgame. I've watched Infinity War. And I don't think I've watched anything else.
I'll tell you what I do rewatch the crap out of, and that is Batman movies. So,
I've watched 89 a few times. I've watched Return a few times relatively recently in the last couple of years. I keep meaning to rewatch the last one, The Batman, because I really enjoyed that film. I've watched some clips. I've sung the praises of the slasher flick car chase where Batmobile's the slasher and the bad guy is the victim. I absolutely love that. I seek a lot of comfort food in rewatching. I don't mean actual comfort food in eating, but I mean like, you know, comfort food rewatches. The people that talk about the how many times they've watched The Office or something. I don't necessarily watch The Office, but the shows, the cartoons, like American Dad or Bob's Burgers, that background noise type stuff. That's usually what I'm rewatching. Episodes of Gumball when I've medicated at night. You know, wow, that's a great show to watch under a green haze. So long as it's legal in your state and you're of age. I don't know. We watched we rewatched John Wick the other day. Lucas watched a big chunk of it, which was cool. He thought it was fun. I can't remember if any of them have any like graphic sex scenes or anything like that. But the first one's just violence and language. So that's like a hockey game in the Malone house. So no problem there. I don't know. Are there any movies that you do, I mean, besides Batman, that you do like a hoity-toity film that you go and rewatch?
No, there's Lord of the Rings also. So there's that. Not the Hobbit ones, the original three.
I know what you mean. What you mean. Yeah, there's a difference.
Those can be on all the time. I love them so much. there's so right now Yeah, it would be as far as the Batman films. What I'm probably rewatching is Returns. One is always Returns. Second would be The Dark Knight, the Heath Ledger film. That his performance is so satisfying. I could just watch it all the time. The third one would be The Batman, and it's just the strength of the film. It's just so good. So those are the three, and then sometimes if I'm like, okay, I might fall asleep, but I just want a background show, it's Batman the Animated Adventures.
Anime series.
Yeah, and close behind that, actually, I don't know how many people really like this show, but I thought it was really well done, is The Batman. Not so a few years ago. Actually, now it's probably quite a few years ago, but it's one of their more recent animated versions of Batman. It was a little different, but it had the kind of the same aesthetic. And then lately, actually, I've turned on Batman Beyond, because that, some of those were really, really good. But overall, yeah. And if I'm not watching that right now, I'm currently rewatching all seasons of Big Bang Theory, and I'm on season
Oh
seven.
God. Oh my God. I can't. I find it so disgusting you watch that show.
Don't
I can't believe
understand.
you.
It's one of
Because
my.
it is one of the it literally takes every worst stereotype about smart people, about geeks, about otaku and everything, and it just plays up the absolute worst stereotypes imaginable. It
Yeah,
is
but it
trash.
also, but what it does also is there's quite a few moments within the seasons that I could highly relate to, and they make me very, actually some of them made me quite emotional, because I remember feeling that exact same way as the character who maybe wasn't the most popular person, or maybe wasn't the most
Oh
outspoken as
yeah.
far as being social and things like that.
I remember those days when liking video games was not cool.
Yeah,
Even
liking
the sports
superheroes.
games. I don't care that you play Madden. That's for sissies. You should go play real football. Like, yeah, I remember those days quite vividly.
So yeah, that yeah, so that's kind of why I hold a special place in my heart, because of the multi times where I'm just like, yeah, that was me, or that is me still to some degree, and so that's why I enjoy it very, very much, and I'll always stand by it.
Oh my, dude, don't let me calling it trash affect that. Everyone's entitled to have those moments. I get moments with that with freaking cartoons, and anime cartoons and shit and regular live action stuff. Yeah, everyone's got it. Still hate the show. Still hate it. But that is the one good thing about entertainment though, and the reason why things do take off is because they can elicit strong feelings like that. Either way, it keeps it in the discussion, which drives ad revenue on multiple platforms when people are discussing things like that. Scrubs is one of the like
Love Scrubs.
sitcoms
Yeah.
that I that we rewatch. That's non-cartoon stuff. Scrubs is one that I can put on any season except for the last one.
Last seasons are usually not very good.
And I don't really care for season eight. It was mostly fine. I love the way it ended. I think it had one of the best endings in TV with JD remembering everything, and he walks out and he sees, the videotape of what might happen in the future. It was really dumb to for ABC to bring it back for one more season, but that's a good one. I used to watch the hell out of the Star Wars movies all the time, but not much anymore. Kind of getting burned out on all of that as well, man. That's what I kept complaining about the most with people about like Marvel's Phase 4 and Star Wars stuff these last few years is they're watering down what I did enjoy. They're making so much bad stuff within the things that within the franchises that I do like or did like, that it becomes harder to even watch the things that I did like because I know what comes next. And I'm going to be reminded of a stupid thing they did with Luke, or a stupid thing they do with Cap, or not necessarily Cap, but let's say Hawkeye, for example. You know what I'm saying? Like, the MCU is even going to make it difficult to go back and watch the original Daredevil and Punisher shows, both because you're like, yeah, we'll never get that again, and also because, like, look what they did to my boy when the new stuff comes out, you know? And I'm jealous. I truly am. I don't know how true it is that Janet can actually ignore what comes before or after and absolutely isolate himself into a particular movie. But for those that can, I'm jealous of that. I wish I could disconnect. I wish I could put on some blinders and look at just one thing in a big franchise, that is, and be like, nothing else matters. Nothing else counts. I can't. I'm jealous of it. I can't. To me, it's infuriating. So, yeah.
Wow. That sucks for you.
It does.
Not being able to enjoy things.
Oh, God. I enjoy plenty of things, but it makes it harder. And if something is bad, like if something is breaking canon, like Obi-Wan Kenobi, there was nothing good in there to begin with. Horribly written, horribly cut. Awful, awful show. And it resulted in nothing. What? We already had a lightsaber battle between them, and we didn't need to see another one. It did nothing for the franchise. It watered it all down. I could not ignore it. I couldn't ignore it and just be like, oh man, we're going to get a cool lightsaber fight. Nope. Couldn't ignore that at all.
You know what's interesting though is, we're living in a time now when shows aren't, especially because of streaming services. And I mean, this is another, here's another jab at streaming services and just the way they, studios do business. Shows aren't really giving the opportunity now to breathe, to be able to develop into shows like The Office, like Scrubs, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Shorter seasons, faster turnaround,
quicker endings. Like they don't want to, they just don't have the resources
us, the consumers, because I think we get bored too fast these days. I think, and that's part of why things have been watered down, is just there's so much, and people, especially during the pandemic, when, you know, work from home was a bigger thing, or working at all was, you know, a question. People were going through a lot more content. I don't know how it will be, because my son, and he's just one kid, but my son does like to watch a lot of things again and again and again, more so than even I did outside of Star Wars itself, the original trilogy, when I was a kid. That used to be my bedtime stories. Pop the VHS in, use the VCRs, automatic, you know, rewind and replay setting, and just let Star Wars play while I was sleeping, right? Other than that, I was very much I'll watch something again every now and then, but my son loves to watch things on repeat, same videos multiple times a day. I'm wondering how that's going to eventually play out for his part of the generation that he's in the future. Will we see a return to people liking, you know, less content more often versus how things are today with, you know, your older Gen Z and younger millennials, where it's less repeat, more, unless it's some nostalgia thing, more like, you know, just the new thing, you know, like TikTok and stuff. Like, short form is a big deal because attention spans have gotten shorter, is kind of what I'm trying to get at. I'm wondering if that will switch back.
I don't know. I kind of disagree with you, because if that were the case, then why are so many people rewatching shows from the past? I mean, these are just like...
I said except for nostalgia. I qualified nostalgia.
Yeah, I guess. And if you had the first season of The Office being released today, it's not as popular as it was back then. Because the first season was not very good. just saying. And then...
But what will be, what is this current generation's, what is this, you know, where is the current generation's Roseanne, their that 70s show, their Family Matters, their scrubs, they're off. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
so many things again, and the next generation coming up will tell us more about how it'll go. But I am curious because everyone is so obsessed with everything that's a reboot or a sequel from yours and my age or older. I don't know.
No, because even some of those shows are reboots, like the 90s show, which was pretty dry. And
requels. yeah.
So it's just... Well, there's also no networks to put them on anymore. Like,
yeah,
there's that. And it's kind of annoying and sad to see because like, you know, where are those characters? Like, it's like it's what you're saying. Where are those characters that we're going to fall for as far as, you know, like maybe people to look up to, people to feel sorry for, people to cheer for?
You need a character like where is a Red Foreman? Where is a Steve Urkel? Where is a Tim the Toolman Taylor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something that the entire generation just knows. You know what I'm you know what I'm saying?
Maybe you just stand behind too. Yeah.
I mean I can do a pretty good Tim Taylor, you know, the noises that he'd make there on Tool Time and stuff like that. And I could do that in a public place, and there's gonna be a whole bunch of mid-30s, late-30s, and older people that are going to be like, dude, yeah, Tim Taylor, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of anything from the last, you know, 10, 15 years that is that pervasive through the American fabric, so to speak, you know? Anyways.
No, yeah.
Times change.
It's changing. It's sad because we don't have that, and I think that's why they end up having to go back. Like we're because of, I don't know, lack of, I wouldn't say it's lack of creativity because maybe the creativity was there, but maybe it's studios unwilling to, yeah, it's not a safe, unwilling to gamble.
Safer.
And unwilling to, you know, give the opportunity something to grow. I mean, the last shows I think that would do that would be on the CW. Yeah, like Supernatural maybe is one of them. For all those emo kids,
Supernatural is pretty big deal.
I would say to some degree, the Arrowverse was something like that for a good
very chunk
niche, of fans.
Not as big as a Family Matters or Home Improvement, but yeah, big enough for its group.
I'm talking about is shows that have those long runs lately. That were able to have those long runs on television. American Horror Story is another one that I know a lot of people really like and kind of tells you about a generation. I love American Horror Story, but other than that, what do you have, like 10 episodes of Stranger Things every 5 years?
That is now that's one I can't believe I forgot about. That is a generational here's the kicker. It's based on what? Nostalgia still. It is an original story but and it plays off of the nostalgia for a decade, which is a really nice way to do it, so you don't pigeonhole yourself into any. You can do music, you can do movies, you can do culture, like the mall in season 3. But yeah, that is a generationally defining property. I do agree with that. 100% Stranger Things.
Those actors and actresses are going on and doing their own things
and
being recognized for it. And, you know, I think that's why Ghostbusters was so successful, Afterlife.
Not technically successful.
it was successful. Relax. It's the reason why they're doing another one. I mean, you have the same kids in the It franchises and, I mean, Millie Bobby Brown's doing her own thing with a bunch of different stuff. So, it's good. It's really good. I do worry about this last season that they're putting together because those kids are pretty freaking old now.
They said there will be a time jump this time.
So I know. It's still annoying.
How they'll do that, I don't know.
Yeah. Hopefully they don't ruin the series because it's such a high note last time around. But yeah.
Well, we won't ruin the show by going on any further either. Stranger Things is great. I hope the next season is a good send off. I think they're doing two parts again. I can't remember. Anyways, we're almost done rewatching season three on that with Lucas. So he's been enjoying. It's fun getting him into more mature things these days. He's growing up. It's both wonderful and awfully depressing at the same time. So you guys can check out more content here on the Genreverse YouTube channel, of course. Lots of anime reactions, reviews, general geek and pop culture entertainment on Breaking Geek and Daily Cog Cantina for Star Wars. If it's not a reaction video, all of that goes up on our on your favorite podcast app on the Genreverse Podcast Network. And of course, LRM Online. LRMOnline.com every day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Manny, anything else for the people out there watching and listening?
Just happy Memorial Day and yes. Take a moment really to reflect on what that means and just be grateful for. And I know that. We all have a difference in opinion and that we all have we're all fighting for different things and it may not seem fair now, but we have that opportunity now because of the sacrifices of all those that came before us.
Yep, indeed. All right, guys, have a good day. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.